Still speaking, God, guide us by your word and spirit that we may hear and grow in faith and love. Amen. Our scripture reading is Genesis 2, 15 to 17, page 4 of your pew Bible. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Thanks. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nona. I've told a couple of you that my first Sunday here last year was the first Sunday in Lent. So, oh my goodness, we've been together a year. Can you believe it? Went really fast. It went very fast. Yeah, most of the time it went very fast. My family and I are still so delighted to be here, and just to think about all that's occurred in the last year, and to see some new faces, and to see all the faces who were here. And we're grateful for your prayers and your support and your patience with me, too. And we'll carry on as long as the Lord has us, right? So,
amen.
All right, our New Testament reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and we'll begin at verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put your Lord, your God, to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord. So today we're talking about identity. Our identities in Christ, in a world where our identities are frequently borrowed or stolen or manipulated or I don't know what. You may have had that happen to you, or maybe somebody's pretended to be you online as an example. You may have lost your wallet or your identification. Everyone have a wallet check, like my husband Todd does. Okay, it's there. You might have lost those things before, your identification or something like that. Found someone's made purchases on your credit card. I guarantee almost 100% of us have had at least one of those things happen to us. Your bank account, your identity, often without even learning how they've accessed all of that personal information. About 15 million Americans have their identities used fraudulently each year. And about 1.1 million identity thefts were reported last year. So when this happens, often it affects us for years to come, right? At least for months to come as we figure out what to do. It doesn't change our identities. It doesn't change who we already are. But then we have to sift through a lot of paperwork and a lot of phone calls and details in order to reclaim who we already are. crazy world. In the Gospel of Matthew, which we're reading through Lent, Matthew and John, following the lectionary, in Matthew we have a lot of chances to learn and read who Jesus actually is, including up just into this chapter. It's interesting that when we turn a page back in the Gospel today, we read of Jesus' baptism. The Holy Spirit is present as he descends down upon Jesus as he comes up from the water of baptism. And God says, "This is my Son, the Beloved." In just those first couple of chapters of Matthew, the readers and hearers of the gospel already have had Jesus identified for them several times. In chapter 1 alone, he's the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David and Abraham, the one who saves. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And in chapter 2, he is a ruler and he is God's Son. And so then at Jesus' baptism, this is echoed. He's the Son of God, God says. It's often said that this baptism is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it certainly seems that way, as in Matthew. If we turn the page the other way, we see Jesus call his first disciples. So the very beginning of his ministry. But first we have this text in between where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. So it's so often mentioned here that even Jesus has been tempted, with encouragements and admonitions for all of us to memorize texts that help when we are tempted and to remember. And we have a couple teenagers, we have some kids here today, especially if you are younger. The one I love is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12 and 13. "If you think you are standing firm, be careful you do not fall," the Apostle Paul says. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man and woman. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear," he says. "But when you're tempted, he'll provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." When you're making young adult decisions as a young adult, or I have four kids, you're making young adult decisions as a teenager, it's frightening. This is definitely a helpful one. Knowing that whatever you go through, that God is with you, you're not alone, and that all of those temptations are, of course, completely common to us. And those of us who are older know all of that. God doesn't promise to rescue you through temptation, but to help you endure all of that. When we're young, it seems like our obedience to God is like this one-time test. And maybe it's because what we're told of Adam and Eve. And we learn all of that in Sunday school and children's sermons and all of that. It was a one-time exam. They blew it. They blew it big time. And as a result, all of humanity blew it. And so we're tempted to read the New Testament text in the same way. And Jesus didn't blow it. It's pretty simple. He's tempted by the enemy, and it says he's led by the Spirit to the wilderness. He fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and we see his human side. He's grown very hungry. And then he's tempted three times. The first of those times, the adversary says in verse 3, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Now, the enemy isn't doubting his identity here, his divinity. In the Greek, he knows exactly who Jesus is. It's more like he's saying, "Since you're the Son of God, why don't you do this and this?" Jesus answered, "It's written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" And then he responds with quotations from the Torah, from Scripture each time. And in this first question, he's targeted where Jesus is weakest, often our hunger, right? You ever been hangry? I've been hangry several times. But this is a little different than we've been taught about Adam and Eve. For them, the choice was about obedience to God, a creator who had placed them there and given them everything, even access to this tree of life. For Jesus, this was more symbolic than a one-time test. For Jesus, this first temptation there questions his obedience to God, his Father, yes, but it also tests his identity. Jesus has been baptized. The Spirit has descended upon him. God has called him the Son of God, his Son. This is where his ministry's begun. And now the temptation is to forget who he is and to forget that God named him and to forget what God had just commissioned him to do through his baptism. It's a challenge to Jesus' identity. And what happens? Jesus knows exactly who he is. He knows exactly who he is in the sight of God. And Jesus doesn't need anyone else other than God to authenticate that. These temptations for him foreshadow the challenges that are going to be constant for Jesus through the Gospels and likewise constant for us as believers in Christ. And as I already mentioned, God gives us endurance through all of those challenges we face. In this series during Lent, we're going to focus on these encounters with Christ and transformation that comes from that. And we're following the lectionary during this particular series, so you're welcome to kind of read ahead and see what we're doing. We'll hear from Nicodemus, the woman at the well, and others. And so it seems appropriate at the beginning of the season of Lent, beginning with Ash Wednesday last week, to remember our need for God. We've talked about sin before as the condition of humanity, the condition of humankind, the confusion between creature, all of us, as we're called in Romans, and our Creator, God. We kind of think we're God a lot of times, don't we? And we've looked at Genesis 2 before, which warns us there's consequences to our actions and there's consequences to other people's actions. And all of that affects us throughout our lives. We certainly see that on the news every day. In our Old Testament text today, Adam is told he may eat from any tree in the garden, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when he and Eve do, they're sent out of the garden and they're told to till the ground, and the entrance to that garden is guarded. There's other times in Scripture I think of these kinds of stories of choices that lead to death. I think of Peter, for example, in the New Testament, who denies knowing Jesus after Jesus says he will do so, not once, but a good three times. There's choices we make, we all continue to make, which cause us to turn away from God, leading to separation from God. In other words, we forget that we are children of God. You may or may not know that we started a confirmation or communicants class for our youth group, for our high school students, at the beginning of February, and we're meeting right before a youth group. We're meeting the first and third Sundays of the month, and for a little bit more than an hour, and then we have youth group. And it's quite a time commitment, not only for me, but especially for them. Our high school students, we have Roland here somewhere. Oh, there he is. It's a Roland sighting. Thank you, Roland. It's quite a time commitment for them too, because of high school academics these days, really intense. I can't understand a lot of what my twins are actually doing. Their sports, their activities, it's a big commitment, so I'm very proud of them. They'll spend 6 or 7 Sundays with me, and then I wanted to tell you our first time was on the meaning of membership. We talked about membership in clubs and sports and what being a member of a church or the body of Christ, how that might be similar. And last time we talked about our identity in Christ. And we had a show and tell like when you're in kindergarten and you bring your item, and it was so cute, and they all brought an item, most of them anyway, and talked about why that was important to them and how it informs their identities. Our students here are really gifted, they're really smart. You all know this because you know them. They're really creative, they're really smart. Two are in robotics, one's interested in politics, another in psychology, and they're still exploring what they're good at and how that will shape their identities as they go into the future, right? And what God might call them to do with all of that. It made me think about how when we are young, things are a little bit different, and maybe it's the best time, the perfect time, to learn about our identity in Jesus Christ. Because as we grow, we take on these other identities at times. We become employees, we become parents or managers, we become spouses, students, workers. All these things, in the best case scenario, add to who we are, inform who we are, and are part of our identity. But often, as we grow older, there are things that sort of enshroud and cover and cause that to look a little darker, a little more confusing, like fear or anxiety or trauma or addictions or even some of our relationships. One of my former professors talks about this. Her name's Katie Skurja, and she's based in North Plains, and I had her in seminary. She's a spiritual director, and she uses the metaphor of a peanut M&M to illustrate the imago Dei, so the image of God that's in each one of us. Because before we get to Genesis 3, as Nona said, that was a little dark. Sorry, it stopped abruptly, and it was just kind of matter of fact, right? Before we get there to Genesis 3, we have Genesis 1. And we remember that we're created by God and we're created in the image of God. I mentioned fear or trauma or some of those things. Katie would say these are the layers of the chocolate and the candy coating on the outside of the M&M. And I know you're all thinking about M&Ms right now, and I am too. And she brings them to each of her presentations, which is wonderful. So that's the chocolate, that's the candy coating, that's the part of us that others see. They can't see the peanut, right, inside of the M&M. And she would say the peanut is really the only thing of nutritional value in there, I might argue. But being made in the image of God, that's her metaphor. We're covered with all of these things over time, sometimes even hiding who we really are. And sometimes just kind of forgetting over time who we are. There's a lot more we could say here, but as we talk about transformation during this season of Lent, we remember it's not just a one-time thing, that it's a journey, that a transformation, just like when you start to exercise or something like that, it takes time. It's a journey that we take with Christ. And as time goes by, we forget who we are in God's image and in God's presence. And we forget that God is the author of life and God is the source of life. Our identity as children of God will be tested. Even Jesus wasn't immune to all of that. And God calls us to trust and to remember who we are as children of God. So let's go back to Adam and Eve one last time. After Adam and Eve eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you remember what happens. Their eyes are open, and they realize they're naked, and they fashion together leaves to make coverings for themselves. And verse 8, the beginning of that third chapter, says, "The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." When the Lord showed up, Adam and Eve hid in those trees in the garden. They hid in the presence of God. In contrast, we think about our text from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus knows exactly who he is as he's tempted, as he's in the very presence of God, and he doesn't need validation or authentication from anybody else. Just as Jesus remembered, so must we remember. Thinking about that M&M and the fear, so must we remember when we're in the very presence of God. We remember who we are, children of God, and we remember who others are, also made in the image of God. While the pressures of life might test our obedience and certainly our trust, we remember we can endure anything because that is who we are. We're made in God's image. So we remember just as he did. Amen.